We want to thank everybody for joining us today on Stories of Strength. And in this podcast, we share the stories of amazing people who overcome, you know, their own adversities in their lives with their personal strength. And I'm really excited about this podcast because in these stories, right, while the journeys are uniquely their own, there's such a great opportunity for all of us to find community and inspiration in their stories of strength. And today we have an amazing guest, Amber Davies. She's more than a chronic illness warrior. I mean, the list is pretty long. I'm going to shorten it. She's a university student, a fitness enthusiast, fundraiser, advocate, model. I mean, you name it. And she's either has done it, is doing it, or probably will do it in the future. So without further ado, we'll just jump right into it. Amber, do you mind introducing yourself and sharing your story of strength?
Hi, my name's Amber. I run an Instagram account called Amber's Ostomy. So when I was age 13, 14, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which is one of the two main forms of IBD, so inflammatory bowel disease, which basically means your kind of immune system is lacking itself within your digestive system. So there's like a lot of ulceration and a lot of bleeding, and it obviously kind of has an effect on the wider body as well. And so it brings a whole host of symptoms along with it. After suffering with symptoms for quite a while when I was a child, so I just get weird symptoms like mouth ulcers and skin problems and a lot of fatigue. But they didn't actually diagnose me until I was about 13 or 14 when they finally did some camera tests, and that's how they found it in the end. So then I was able to start working my way through the medications and all the different treatments available. But obviously, still being quite young, there were, some of them were quite dangerous and intrusive. And then I got to about 15 and I was still suffering really badly with none of the medications or treatments really working for me. And I was actually on a family holiday abroad and suffered with a really bad flare-up and ended up making the executive decision to fly home early. And I went straight to my local hospital, in which I didn't come out for about 8 weeks, I think. And in that time I had my first emergency surgery to remove a lot of my diseased bowel and create a temporary stoma. Recovery was quite long after that because it was quite a big surgery, and I was obviously left with the stoma to kind of deal with and get used to. But unfortunately, over the next year or so, my disease came back in my remaining colon and rectum. So again, started working my way through all the different meds and treatments available, again, with not a lot working to kind of get a hold of the disease. So I had to have a second emergency surgery when I was 19 to make my stoma permanent and remove the rest of the kind of diseased bowel and rectum. And I had my anus sewn. So yeah, we're kind of pals for life now. So yeah, my kind of Instagram account comes from there, because after my surgery, I found that a lot of the literature and stuff was all very targeted at the elderly, and there was quite a stigma around the whole thing, and particularly the actual stoma surgery itself, as well as the bowel disease. I kind of felt like there wasn't much going on for younger people who go through it, and it's not uncommon for young people to go through it. I think there's about 1 in 4 people diagnosed with bowel disease are actually under 16. Yeah. So I just kind of started documenting my life, basically, and just putting bits and bobs on there as I learned new things and kind of got out and about again. It just seems to have taken off. So
it's amazing what you start to see when you just do something as simple as documenting. You said you saw that there wasn't really much in the space targeted toward younger people. What was your primary goal, or I guess what were you looking or hoping to be able to do once you started sharing your story?
I think once I started sharing my story, I didn't expect it to kind of go the way it did. I was more so looking for other people in a similar situation, but I soon found that because of the stigma surrounding the whole situation. There weren't many young people that actually spoke about it, so it soon became a bit of a focal point for especially younger people to kind of all come together in one space. Definitely in the last couple of years, I've seen that people seem to be a lot more vocal about it and, you know, a bit less worried and scared to share their own photos and stories, which is really nice to see.
Yeah. What was going through maybe your mind or through your emotions when you decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and share my first post about this? Were you nervous? Were you anxious? What was going through your head at the time?
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one at the time. I think because so much had happened to me in such a short space of time and the surgery was all emergency and it all kind of happened very quickly, I didn't quite know where it was. So initially I just kind of posted the photos very easily because I didn't kind of understand how much of a stigma there was surrounding the whole situation. And then obviously once I started, I soon found out that that was not abnormal, but it was kind of brave and people found it quite empowering. Yeah, and just the amount of people that started getting in touch and getting involved was really, really inspiring.
Do you remember the first time something happened to make you realize, oh wow, this is inspiring somebody, or this is a brave thing to do? Did something happen?
I think initially I just started getting a lot of messages from like friends and family and stuff, like asking questions and like trying to find out more. And that's kind of the reason I started doing it as well, because, you know, when you're in hospital, you get absolutely bombarded with calls and messages. And I just thought it was so much easier to put kind of one post out a week or whatever to kind of keep people in the loop and updated. I didn't really expect for it to be much more than that. But yeah, it definitely was a good way of helping educate people, especially the people that were close to me to begin with. Like I said, I could just put one post out there and kind of update everyone. You know, this is what I've been doing this week. This is what's happened. Yeah, and that was it to start. But turned out that a lot of, you know, people out of that wider circle were really interested as well.
Can you take us from your first post and maybe how that started to change your life as far as outreach and opportunity?
Initially posted a photo with my bag out only about, I think it was about 6 weeks after my first surgery when I was 17. I then started getting a lot more people getting in touch with me and asking questions and kind of sharing their own stories. So I decided to make a separate Instagram account directly involving that kind of stuff as opposed to having my normal account. And I don't think I did that until it was quite a bit later on. I think I was about 18. And again, that was very, very small scale to start. Yeah, I think it must have been after my second surgery when I was 19. It started to grow and people started getting in touch a lot more. And yeah, I think once people start hearing about it, once you get involved with a few different things, then it just kind of takes off.
For everybody who might not know what kind of stigmas that you found yourself confronting, you know, during that part of the journey and even still now.
Yeah, so there's still, even this day and age, a lot of stigma surrounding inflammatory bowel disease and stoma bags. People seem to think that it's for the elderly only, and it's kind of something that you get at the end of your life when, you know, when there's no options left or something really bad has happened, and it's just another thing that kind of takes away your life even more. But, and a lot of people tend to think silly things as well, like you can't do anything with it, or that you smell, and then it just completely restricts you basically, but which is not true at all. So I try and convey that in a lot of what I do, more so for people that are new to it as well. So people that have got upcoming surgery or have just gone through it, as a bit of a reminder and a comforter that you know, it's not the end, and that in a lot of cases like mine, when you've had IBD, it's actually a lifesaver. So it's something they give you to kind of give you life back.
So you mentioned too that at the beginning, because it happened so fast, you didn't really get a chance to process it. So maybe it didn't seem as heavy of a weight. Maybe, and if I'm not saying this right, please feel free to correct me, but maybe it didn't seem as heavy. Was there a point maybe when it did hit you and, you know, things became more difficult for you, at least, you know, once you started to realize what was happening?
Yeah, so I remember when I was starting to get really, really poorly, just prior to my first surgery, it was kind of mentioned in passing comment by a consultant, and I was just absolutely distraught. I didn't really know what a stoma was, but they kind of came in with a load of documents and leaflets and brochures and just told me about it and left me to it. And I just didn't want to touch them. I was absolutely against it. And even though I was getting so poorly, I still thought that was something really in the distance. Yeah, so I just turned down the idea completely and wouldn't have any of it. I wouldn't talk to any of the stoma nurses or anything. And I was absolutely adamant that some sort of treatment was going to work. And I was like trying to force feed myself and make myself get up out of bed. And it wasn't happening. After that, I can't really remember a lot of the period after that because I got so ill. But I remember waking up with it and just being so, so thankful. I didn't really have any of those feelings that I had prior because it had kind of saved my life in a way. I think it is normal to even now have days where you not necessarily hate it, but you kind of wish that maybe it wasn't there, or you kind of try and remember what you looked like when it wasn't there. But no, on the whole, it's really good. And I just try and think about that time and think about how much of a life it has given me, because I've been able to do so much more since before that I never would have been able to do if I never had it. So
what would be some advice that you would give them, you know, since the surgery, that you've noticed, oh man, I'm able to do this now that I wasn't able to do before?
Yeah, I think got the option or decision, it can be a lot harder because the option is there to not have it necessarily. Harsh on your body and so horrible. You've got to kind of weigh up the pros and the cons in the end. But yeah, I think for people who are facing a decision, that, you know, it is so much better these days because there's so many people that are a lot more open about it. And you can kind of, all you need to do is hop on Instagram or Google to see that, you know, there is life after it, and people do go on to do such amazing things, and that, you know, life can actually be better as well post-surgery. It's just definitely not the end. Yeah,
I think that's helpful for, you know, for people who might be listening, who might know somebody or who are, you know, facing this decision themselves or the situation themselves, because you're right. And you know, I don't know if you were the start of this, but you know, probably one of our first followers who really talked about this openly. And yeah, you search a couple of hashtags and there is just a growing number of movement of people who just live their life and are like encouraging people, hey, like, you don't need to be afraid of this. You know, you're out modeling. I mean, everything, like nothing is withheld from you. So have you kind of noticed that, like, oh, like nothing has really changed in my life?
No, if anything, it's changed for the better in terms of what I can now do and achieve in comparison to what I couldn't do prior to surgery. I mean, I couldn't even go to school beforehand, whereas now I've moved to uni, I live on my own, I've done a skydive, I've been training for a marathon, I've done so, so much more. So it's really incredible, to be honest.
You mentioned that you had a hard time even going to school. What were some of the things you couldn't do before you had the surgery?
So before I had the surgery, things like progressively got worse over time, but I was just so, so fatigued. A lot of the time I couldn't, you know, I was falling asleep in lessons, but at that time it's a different kind of tired where you can't actually help it. And I was obviously toilet 20 plus times a day and losing so much blood each time that, so I pass out sometimes as well in the bathroom. So you'd either have to go to the hospital to have like a blood transfusion, or, you know, I'd kind of be wiped out for the day then. It was pretty much impossible to go too far or do too much, especially towards the end. I think I ended up spending about 60-70% of my time in hospital. It was obviously a hard time at school in terms of, I don't know how you do it in America, but I was going through like my GCSEs and then my A-levels. I think so GCSEs, you're about 16, and then A-level, 18. So ended up having to teach myself a lot of it from hospital and then kind of go in for whatever exams I could make and then go straight back to hospital, basically.
I mean, there was so many things there that you mentioned that's like, man, that's, you know, that's tough to deal with, especially at such a young age. What's some advice you could give for people on the outside looking in? You know, if you don't know somebody's going through something, what are some assumptions that aren't safe for us to have?
Yeah, I think it's so easy to just make assumptions about anything or anyone, but I think people just need to take a step back sometimes and consider what might be going on. It's all kind of invisible, so it's not like some disabilities where you can visibly see that something's wrong with someone and you can therefore help or like accommodate that. It's something that you can't see, so a lot of the time you might be looking well to the eye, and I think that's what people really struggle to get their heads around sometimes, because even now people see me and they think, you know, not that I'm lying, but they think I'm over exaggerating or that there's not, you know, it's nothing major that's wrong. So only last week I was in Manchester Airport going, only flying to somewhere else in Europe, but they had like the new body scanners there, and I instantly worried because a lot of the time my bag does pop up on there, because it does look like I'm a bit dodgy sometimes. The travel card and everything that explains in however many languages, but you're not allowed to carry things like that through with you. So as soon as I stood in there on the little screen, a square popped straight up over where my bag would be on my body, and the lady like swept me out, and I had like a jumpsuit on, so she starts feeling my body and she obviously found the bag and starts pulling at it under my clothes in front of everyone. And I was trying to tell her, you know, that's a no-go sort of thing, and she got quite frustrated at me and was trying to get me to explain, and she just didn't understand at all. There was no knowledge there, basically, so they kind of put me into quarantine with all these other like middle-aged blokes and everything, and I literally had to go into a room and strip off for them. And they were in, like, inspecting it, and they wanted me to take it off, and I was trying to explain, like, you're not letting me to my bag, which has like all my spare supplies in. I can't walk around without a bag on. And they didn't have a clue, and they were just, you know, they obviously thought I had drugs in there or something, so they wanted to see inside and they wanted proof of taking it off. But you just think by now that people, especially people in that kind of situation, would have some sort of understanding or knowledge.
No, that is bananas. And it seems like airport security seems to be one of the worst places for, you know, just about any situation, but especially a situation like that that requires empathy. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is if we can maybe try to be empathetic first, right, over assumptive, I think that would help us get a lot further.
Definitely, yeah.
So now can you kind of tell us some of the opportunities that you have now and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think I just started off by doing bits and bobs for a big charity here in the UK, which is called Crohn's and Colitis UK, which is one of the leading charities with everything bowel disease related. So I started getting involved with a few of their bits and bobs and just doing a bit of fundraising. And from there, they nominated me for an award for like kind of commitment. I've had a lot of opportunity. So in particularly since my profile has grown, I seem to have had a lot more opportunity because people to find people and find out about people's stories. So from there, I've had quite a lot of opportunity in terms of news articles and TV programs, and especially because I come from quite a rural area, so people are quite interested, so they tend to reach out if they've got anything going on or for advice and bits and bobs like that. Yeah, and I've been involved with some really cool companies as well, so I'm working with a new company called Austique, who are redesigning the stoma bag, which is really cool. So they're trying to steer away from any medical looking design and make it look a bit more like a tattoo or an accessory, which is really cool. Yeah, and just lots of exciting bits and bobs with companies here and there, and obviously a bit of modeling, when I can. Just try and get my foot in wherever I can, basically, to help.
What's been your favorite opportunity?
Oh my God, you know, it's such a difficult question because they're all, it's such a broad spectrum, like from physical activity to like behind the scenes sort of social media work, and then like modeling and stuff. It's all so different, which is, I think that's why I really like it, because every one of them is helping in some sort of way, but they're all completely different. It's all really enjoyable, and it's something that I really enjoy, and I hopefully can kind of take forward at some point to kind of make a career of it. Not long ago, I was involved in a campaign called Behind the Scars, which is a photography campaign run by a lady called Sophie, who's based in London, and her project is all about photographing, taking photos of people and their scars, but then focusing on the story behind the scar instead of the actual visual and stigma of the scar itself. So I got to take over her Instagram last weekend, which was really cool because there were so many people interested in my story, and like I run a question poll on there, and the amount of people that had nothing to do with D or stomas themselves but were so intrigued on learning about it and how it worked, it was absolutely amazing. I was so taken aback, I couldn't get over it, but it's nice that people are starting to see it a little bit more often now, and they're kind of a bit more open to learning about it. And yeah, that's something really nice to see, because I know when I first started, it wasn't like that at all. There was no way I could kind of find anything relevant apart from old people in literature that to kind of take inspiration or knowledge from.
Yeah, and it's hard to connect, right? When the person doesn't seem like they might share a lot of experiences that you have, right? So yeah, I think you're feeling a really big gap there. And you know, of course, the modeling is a great visual, you know, as far as some way to see you and be like, man, you know, that's inspiring to me. But where I want to go to is, you mentioned skydiving earlier. What's the story behind that?
So every year since my initial surgery, I've tried to do something to fundraise for Crohn's and Colitis UK. And then initially in that first year, I still wasn't well enough in terms of recovery to do anything physical in terms of training for something, so I was trying to think a bit outside the box of what I could do. So I decided to do a skydive to raise a bit of money, which was incredible. And again, one of those things that people probably assume you can't do with a stoma bag, but actually it was fine, and yeah, it was amazing.
You're proving that you can do anything with a stoma bag. So and then you mentioned training for a marathon.
The last couple of years I've done bits and bobs, and this year I'm training for a half marathon, which hopefully will turn into a marathon, fingers crossed. But obviously, even with the stoma, I still get IBD, you've still got the disease, but you just haven't got the bowel for it to affect. So it still affects your body, which is proving quite hard. And just little things, like because you haven't got a bowel, you can't absorb nutrients or water. So trying to keep on top of that while training is quite difficult, but we're getting there.
How do you work around that? How are you getting your nutrients then? And how are you staying hydrated, you know, just in general?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. You can obviously buy like rehydration sachets and stuff, but I don't tend to like take in false things. So I just try and keep on top of it myself by just taking water with me or buying some en route somewhere. And in terms of nutrients, that can be quite hard, but it's just kind of finding what works for you and finding the right balance. And if it does mean taking supplements, then, you know, I don't mind doing it. It's just something I've got to kind of keep on track of and have blood work done quite often just to see if it's all balanced.
What are your next steps from here? So, you know, we've kind of gone through, I mean, your entire life at this point, from, you know, when you were a young child to everything that you're doing now. I know you mentioned stuff you want to do in your career, you have university. What does the next couple of years look like for you?
I think I'm still at the stage at the moment where I'm a bit undecided, but I'm currently studying product design in university. So I'm hoping to turn that into some sort of career in medical design or medical engineering. But equally, I'm really enjoying everything that I'm doing at the moment. So if I can kind of combine that all in some, at some point, to form a career, that would be absolutely amazing. But it's hard when opportunities are popping up here and there. It's hard to kind of plan a certain pathway because you never really know what's going to pop up. But yeah, medical design is the kind of, is the aim.
Sounds like if you keep this up, you're going to have your pick on what it is that you want to do in your life. So if you had, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever it is to share only one thing with a group of people or one person, you know, about their journey, seeing their angst, what would you share?
Share that going back to having a positive mindset and just a positive outlook, just being aware that there is life beyond surgery and illness. That doesn't really matter kind of what you're going through. I think somehow we're all connected by that, and everyone is kind of there for each other. Yeah, so to keep that positivity and that mindset and motivation and aspiration, just to achieve what you want to achieve despite kind of hurdles being thrown in your way, I think that's really big.
I think that's really interesting too, that you say that we're all connected. That's something that it's hard to communicate, but I wish, and I'm excited to see that we seem to be moving towards a type of generalized community started by social media where we're all so different and it's okay to be different.
Yeah.
But like our stories really are shared, right? The burdens, the positives, we are all affected by that. Even like, I mean, just think about you. Like, when you were 13 and, you know, there was no, you probably had no idea how, and, you know, our company story would ever come to be. And, you know, the thousands of people that we serve, you know, every year, and that you now will have access to influencing, like there's, you know what I mean? Like it's from the outside looking at it, it just seems like we're on two totally different paths. But,
definitely.
You know, but like here we are. And, you know, it's such an incredible concept. And I'm so happy that you see that and that you're going to be in the forefront of sharing that. So for all of us who want to follow you and maybe give or just, you know, stay on top of what it is that you're doing, or just maybe need a daily dose of inspiration, where are those places that we can find you?
So currently I'm mainly just on Instagram, and my handle is at ambersostomy. But from there you can kind of find a way to contact me in whatever form you like. But yeah, that'd be brilliant if you could head over. Following up on what you were saying just now, I think the community is ever growing. It's absolutely amazing. And there was some quite devastating news only last week in the US of a boy called Seven Bridges. I'm not sure if you heard or not, but he had a stoma himself and actually ended up committing suicide because of children making fun of him. But you know, and that's obviously terrible and everything, but looking at that community and how it's responded is absolutely amazing. And I think if we can carry on being that way and raising awareness, hopefully, you know, someday in the near future, things like that won't have to happen.
You know, we hear about social media a lot, and we hear so many negative things about social media. And I know you talked about this at one point, you know, in a previous discussion, but man, you're right. If we would just, it makes me stop to think, like, what if he had a chance to, you know, find one on Instagram? Like, would that have changed anything for that person? And the reason why I say that is, you know, I hear so much and feel so much energy put against social media and all its negativity, which does exist. But, yeah. You know, what would happen if we put that energy towards, like, ourselves doing good and pointing to other people, like, hey, this person exists. And do you find that parents with children who are going through, you know, any of these type of issues, do you find that it would be helpful for them if they were more active on social media, you know, finding positive influences?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it can be it can be used in two complete different ways, can't it? And it can go one way or the other. And like, even, you know, quite often I get horrible comments or horrible messages, and sometimes they're even off people who've got the same disease, or kind of like ex-health professionals who've been in the industry, which is absolutely mad. But yeah, I do get a lot of parents reaching out to me about their kids, but I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? But I think if there was something for the children, then it would definitely help, whether that's in the form of being allowed on social media or in a different way. I think, yeah, there's definitely a world of good out there to access as well. So yeah, I think it would definitely help.
And you know what we've noticed too, and this was not on purpose, everybody that we've had a chance to has been female. And it's interesting because it seems to fit the narrative that, you know, typically as, you know, as men or males, we find it harder to be vulnerable and to share these things. So just another great example of, you know, strong women taking the lead and driving the culture in a positive direction.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I had a debate about that. I was modeling for a company not a few weeks ago, called Vanilla Blush, who are an underwear company for people who've had similar surgery. And we were half male and half female, and the blokes were trying to argue that they're kind of a lot stronger and it's a lot easier for them. And kind of us women were like, okay, fine. But yeah, there was a big debate as to whether it's not easy for anyone, but whether it's easier for a male to kind of experience this kind of thing, or a female. Yeah, and everyone kind of had their own takes on it, but I think, yeah, more male role models would definitely be helpful.
Absolutely. They're difficult to find, but hopefully when they hear your story and see it, they'll start coming out of the woods a little bit.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
One of the things that was the most intriguing for, you know, me, and this is true of anybody, right? Not just chronic illness warrior, which is kind of the point of this, right? Like, going through something like a chronic issue can take many forms, right? That could be an economic thing, right? You might have a chronic battle with not having enough financial resources in your family, right? With not having access to food or transportation. Like, these battles are fought by everybody in such different ways. And to see, you know, your story along with some of the great guests we've been able to talk to, seeing people take, you know, a very difficult time, a difficult prognosis, and turn it into not just dealing with it, but like living a very fulfilled life and, right, sharing that opportunity with others. For me, that was, you know, just amazing. And hearing how you've gone through that in every step of the way and kept your joy, kept your humor, right, and kept the positivity. It's such a tremendous story to watch online, and even better to hear it in person. So thank you so much for taking the time to share that with us.
Oh, no, thank you. I think, like you said as well, that attitude is absolutely key. I think that's, if anything, that can take you so much further than anything else. Especially when you're going through like surgery and obviously trying major treatments and stuff. I think having that positive mindset, even if you're in a really bad place, it can get you quite far. Yeah, and that's kind of a bit of advice I try to give to people who ask me about it, because, you know, it's very easy to acknowledge that you're having a tough time, but to kind of see through that and be positive is difficult, but it does really help, I find.
Awesome. Well, Amber, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to chat with you again, and we can't wait to get this out and share this with everybody. Unless you have anything else for us, then, you know, I think we're good to go.
No, that's it, I think. Just thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. And yeah, I've been catching up with the few that you've posted already, and they've been really amazing and just really inspiring to listen to. So,
awesome. Thank you so much.